Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, August 27th, 2015. And with me again today, I have my resident troublemakers, Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well. How are you?
I am just fine. And John Martellaro, how are you doing?
I'm good this morning. I am the troublemaker. Kelly, I have put my bell away.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, just so you guys know, I've been getting quite a few responses to your perspectives on the whole OS X permissions repair thing. Mm-hmm.
Do tell.
I'm not yet, because I don't want to unintentionally sway our listeners.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just going to leave it at that. Well, no, I'm also going to say it's so awesome that you guys are sending in your takes on this. I'm absolutely loving the comments that are coming in.
And so
I'm going to wait another day or so while more comments come in, and then we'll share the verdict. And based on what I'm seeing so far, let's just say I'm surprised by the comments that I'm getting, not like in a bad way, like, I can't believe you people would say that, but but like, so many people have such strong feelings on whether or not repairing permissions is the thing to do. So anyhow, thank you for sending in those comments. Keep them coming in, because this is just awesome. You guys rock.
Oh, yes, we do. The A-team.
I was talking about the listeners, but you guys too.
The listeners are awesome. I'm really glad that this is something that is stirring debate. I don't want to give anything away, but maybe next week we'll have a debate about rebuilding the desktop.
Oh, good times. Ooh. Okay.
It's still a thing. Sorry. It is. Anyway.
It's still a thing. Okay. So the news that came out just as we were about to hit record is that the media invites for Apple's rumored, but no longer rumored, September 9th media event have gone out. So yes, Apple will be hosting a media event on September 9th. They're going to be holding it in the Bill Graham Auditorium in San Francisco, which Woo-hoo. Holds up to 7,000 people. So they could have a lot of people there. And the tagline that's on the invite is, "Hey Siri, give us a hint." So,
what do we think about that? I think Apple's been taking a little bit of heat lately for maybe the ability to run Cortana on a Mac through a virtual machine, and maybe Apple's decided it's finally time to bring Siri to the Mac natively. Whether or not Parallels allows it through Cortana, maybe it's just time anyway.
I so didn't see you going there.
No.
No.
Where'd you think I was going?
Certainly not there. I thought you were going to go down the path of, well, you know, we already have Siri on the iPhone, and it's iOS, and it runs great on the iPad also, and we have Apple TV, so hey, now we're going to get voice control on Apple TV. That's where I thought you were
going. Well, we're probably going to get that too. The problem in the past has been yelling across the room, but I think the solution that people have been talking about lately is having a new breed of remote control in your hand with a microphone, so that you only have to talk into the remote on your hand, and then you eliminate a lot of room noise. You get specific control over it. If it's got good off-axis rejection, then only the person talking to the remote can manipulate Siri to control the Apple TV. So it seems like a good solution. So we'll get that too.
So you're not thinking that we'll be able to laugh at Apple in the same way we've laughed at Microsoft for the voice control in Xbox, where commercials were issuing commands to Xboxes, and people are like, what just happened to my machine?
Yeah, Xbox, play Game of War. No! Because that was happening to people, because that would be like, it was really popular at the time, and that was the disc they left in. And they did a commercial with Aaron Paul, and I think it was Game of War. I know it was a game, and I don't remember which one it was, but he was like showing it off, and it was like screwing up people's Xboxing.
That's awesome. That's incredibly funny.
It makes me laugh very much.
So hopefully Apple won't go down that path where we're telling Siri through our televisions what to do.
Right.
Although if it happens, you know people are just going to jump all over that. All right.
And so, Apple will be very careful to make sure that Siri is only listening when she should or he should be listening and is not listening to your living room conversations at other times. I think Apple will make a big thing about that.
Probably.
You'll probably have the facility to very carefully control when Siri is listening and when she isn't.
That seems reasonable. Apple watches what happens with other products very closely.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of people freaking out about Amazon's Echo.
Yes, and there is a law pending in California that will require television set makers to more clearly tell customers that their smart TV has a microphone and could be listening.
You know, I'm taking us down what needs to be a very shallow rabbit hole because we have other stuff to talk about. I don't want my next television to be a smart TV. I have this really, really awesome Sony Bravia television that is not a smart TV. And the picture's incredible. I mean, it's the best television I've ever owned. But I fear what happens the day it dies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
As you should. And I'm not trying to say that to be fear-mongering. Like, you should, because there's the problem with a lot of the smart TVs is that none of that stuff is very clear. And even when you can, even if you do stumble across something, it's really hard to figure out how to disable it if it's something that you don't want. So I feel like we're lucky in having bought our air quote smart TV a couple of years ago because it's really not that smart. And so it's not doing all of this stuff. It's also Panasonic. It's not Samsung. So I know it isn't listening to me. But it's from a couple of years ago. So it doesn't have any of the capability that is concerning about TVs that you can buy today. So that's one of the things that makes me happy about it. Like, it does have some apps, and there's supposedly some ways that you can do stuff with the TV without having to have other things connected to it. But the UI is terrible, and it's really hard to navigate. And even with a good remote control, it's still totally a pain in the neck. So I don't end up using any of the apps. Like, I know it's possible to do Netflix on the TV, but I just do it through the Apple TV because it's easier.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I'm pulling us out of that rabbit hole right now.
Yes.
Because we could go on and on and on. Okay, but so we've
talked. I do want to say something about the event because
that's where
the
I was going back. So, yes, what do you have to say, Kelly?
This is going to be the last time I will say this, but because it says Hey Siri and because specifically in the WWDC address last year when they were demonstrating HomeKit, Craig Federighi did say, "Hey Siri, it's time for bed." It's giving me hope that this will be a chance for Apple to shine the spotlight on a shiny new Apple television. This is my hope. Now, whether or not we get the App Store with that remains to be seen in my estimation. Like, I still want it to, but I don't know if it's going to be.
I've seen some pretty good rumors that Apple's working with developers already.
I certainly hope so, but I'm really trying to not get my hopes up because I've been disappointed 3 or 4 times before now. So, I mean, the article I wrote about why we need Siri and HomeKit to be a much bigger deal than they are is from over a year ago. So I really want there to be a new Apple TV, and I really want it to be amazing, and I really want it to be something so that I can make home automation better, so I can like help my parents get some things set up and then make their lives better with a little bit of home automation. It doesn't have to be a ton.
I really want it to have 4K. Oh, please, 4K.
I just want a new one.
That's my thing.
If I get 4K... If I get 4K, that's fine. But really, all I want out of it is to be new and updated, primarily because it is, and I know it's only 3 years, but it is so old compared to the other options for a little box what you hook up to the TV.
Kelly, I say this with love, but you're the Don Quixote of Apple TV.
But this time, and if I don't get one this time, I'm going to turn into the Gene Munster.
Well, I need a new one too. But what's going to really annoy me is if it doesn't come out with 4K because Apple says, "Well, it's not time yet. The market isn't big enough," or some other excuse. Then you, I have a second generation one. I really need to update it. So I go buy one, and then in June of 2016, then Apple will announce the 4K version, and I'll go, oh, it hurts.
Now,
not that they're that expensive, but still, it's the
You can upgrade for $69 today.
Yeah, I know.
Now, the whole thing with Hey Siri, give us a hint. It drove all of us right down the, except for John, the Apple TV path. So now I'm wondering, do you think that Apple TV, assuming it's at the event, will actually be bigger news than a new iPhone?
Oh, no.
Yes.
No. No, it'll be one more thing. Category.
No, but afterward, when people are talking about what happened at the event, I think absolutely the Apple TV is going to be the bigger news, because when Apple holds an event in September, it is the iPhone event. We already know there is some sort of iPhone news that is going to come out of this. If they drop a new Apple TV on us, I think that is going to surprise a lot of people, particularly because
It won't dominate the discussion. They'll spend a lot of time talking about iPhone sales.
Everybody's going to wet their pants features. Over the new iPhone. We know that.
Well, yeah, but that's Apple's bread and butter. That's, of course, what they're going to talk about.
Well
that's Apple will talk about. What will people like us?
No, I'm talking about people.
Be talking about
after the fact.
Yes.
Well, we'll be talking about everything.
Yeah, but what I'm going to talk about afterward, if we get a new Apple TV, is the new Apple TV. Whatever the one more thing is, which I'm not allowed to say in Switzerland, that's going to be the thing that I'm going to be interested in. Even if it's not Apple TV, that's going to be the one that I'm going to want to investigate and discuss, because I already know there's a new iPhone coming. The only thing we don't know about it is specifics. We don't know if we're getting two. No. We have a lot of rumors. We don't know anything until Tim Cook comes out on stage and says, and here it is. Let me show a video where Johnny sits in a white room and tells you all about it.
You got to also remember, Kelly, that apparently Apple has fallen through with their negotiations, or at least has had trouble with and is drawn out with the discussions with content rights and the subscription service. And so Apple probably feels a little bit defensive that they haven't been successful in that area. And so they've been wanting to make a big splash and launch a new Apple TV with a subscription service and to make a big deal about, you know, undercutting the cable service, because I've seen a lot of articles about how, you know, Apple wants to kill cable TV and satellite TV. And so my guess is that without that subscription plan, Apple's going to be a little less over the top about the Apple TV, especially if it doesn't have 4K.
I think we're still going to get it.
Well, yeah, but it's not going to be a major discussion point.
No, that's why if it's going to be anything, it's going to be one more thing, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But I think what's going to happen is, that like the watch, which rated two separate events, maybe this will end up rating a separate event, because maybe there's something that will happen with Apple Music once Apple Music is officially paid only and not a free trial anymore, and maybe they'll just roll all of that into a media event instead of actually doing trying to do all of it at once, or just releasing it.
I kind of think there's been such a big fuss about Apple TV, maybe they don't need to put more amperage into it. I think WatchOS 2 would be a good thing to talk about.
I'm sure they're going to talk about WatchOS 2 because it works really well with iOS 9. So I think that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yes.
I think, if anything, the Apple TV is going to be one more thing. And I think it will get relegated to one more thing as opposed to the third pillar of the presentation if they don't have the subscription service to back it up. Yep. Here's the thing, is that people don't care, because people aren't looking to the Apple TV as the cord-cutting salvation. They've already looked to Hulu and iTunes season passes and Netflix and HBO Go or
Amazon
HBO Now.
Prime is coming on strong too.
Well, yeah, but people are already looking to other services. Nobody's looking at the Apple TV as the thing that's going to make it so I can cut the cord. Most people aren't. It's just something that will happen. Like, I've decided to cut the cord. What are my options if I still want to watch stuff on my TV? So that's the thing that I think is going to be interesting to watch, is if we get the new Apple TV. Like, regular folks don't care if Apple has a subscription TV service. Regular folks care that this thing has been around for 3 years and Amazon just put out this new thing, and the one from Google just got a lot cheaper. So which one is the one I want to plug into the back of my TV? It's going to be either the newest one or the one that I'm invested in. So if I'm an Amazon Prime user, it makes sense for me to have a Fire Stick. The end. So that's the thing that I think is going to matter, because Apple has already shown, I mean, there's a truckload more content available on my Apple TV now than when I bought it. They can do that with the next one too.
You brought up a good point there. I think what you were nibbling around the edges of the idea that there isn't the same kind of loyalty in the over-the-top set-top boxes that there is in the Macintosh world and the iPhone world. Not at all.
No. Now, if you were a person...
Even Dan Morin has moved over to a Fire TV.
Well, and he's probably an Amazon Prime person who has access to all of the programming that you get as a Prime member and has enjoyed that maybe on his iPad or on his computer, and now, you know, it's an easy thing to put on your TV, because you buy the stick and you poke it in the port in the back of your television and you move on with your life. It's the whole point of these. It goes back to when it was really easy to do that.
Except the sound comes through the TV speakers.
Well, there's ways around that. But the interesting thing to me about it is, unless you are already invested in that ecosystem, like I have not yet bought a movie from Amazon,
you mean streaming?
Yeah, like to stream. Like, you can buy movies from Amazon just like you can from iTunes, and I have not purchased anything from Amazon. So the Fire Stick only holds limited appeal to me in that I am a Prime user, and watching TV on my TV is kind of fun. So, you know, for $35 or $40 or whatever it is, like, that might be an appealing option. But to really do something where I want to sit down and watch a movie, like, that's going to be my Apple TV, like, every time.
Same here. I enjoy the experience. Yeah, and I don't try to do too many things, and I don't try to spread it around. I just, you know, like the Apple TV. I like the movie selections. And when it's not that, it's Netflix. Actually, Netflix is the dominant thing in our household now.
Yeah, I usually start with Netflix, and then if it's not on Netflix or HBO Go.
Exactly.
Or HBO Go, then I will sometimes...
Yeah, I was looking for some John Wayne movies a while back, and there's only three of them on Netflix. How about that? Yeah, we've been at John Wayne Westerns this summer, and it's been a lot of fun summer viewing, because there hasn't been a lot of good stuff on TV. And some of these old John Wayne Westerns are really cool. But there's only three of them on Netflix, and so we've been getting them off Apple TV for $3.
All right. I'm going to jump us to another topic, because there's something else that I want your opinions on very quickly, because we are so close to out of time.
Talk.
Okay. Amazon Fire Phone. Most people didn't even realize it was still being made. It was just canceled. It's gone. And I'm curious what you guys think about Amazon ditching the smartphone business.
Well, you know, I did a review of the Amazon smartphone back in the fall of 2014. And if you turned off some of the creepy stuff, it was a fine phone. I used it for a month and I enjoyed it, and it was a good user interface. I didn't have hardware encryption, which made it dog slow. If you wanted to do, you know, software encryption, it would take 24 hours. But other than that, it was a fine phone, a crisp display and easy and fun to use. But I think what happened was is that the journalists got focused on all the creepy stuff, and that gave it a bad reputation, and people just went, no, I don't want to go there. If I'm going to buy a phone is a very important part of my life, and I need a phone that I can trust and is secure, and I don't need a creepy phone. So Android marches on and iOS marches on, and the Fire Phone flopped.
Kelly?
I think for me, the thing about this that's really interesting is that it seems, because, you know, we never get any... We get such amorphous numbers from Amazon on any sort of sales that there's been a joke that since we're not going to get any solid numbers on Apple Watch sales in reports or anything, they're not breaking that out as a separate category, that we're just going to call it a Kindle of sales. So people have created the Kindle as this mythical unit of sales when you don't actually report any hard numbers on anything. So given that, all I really have to go on is sort of anecdotal data. I had a Kindle Touch. I still have a Kindle Touch. It's just not my primary Kindle anymore. I adored my Kindle Touch until I got a Kindle Paperwhite, and now I adore my Kindle Paperwhite. And I absolutely love it for what it does. I know a number of people who have a Kindle Fire who really like the Kindle Fire and really enjoy the experience of that. And so it seems like the tablet is doing okay. I almost always, if I'm at Best Buy, see people picking one up and being very interested in asking salespeople questions about it because there's a lot of interest in maybe graduating from the Kindle to a Kindle what can get your email, you know, or whatever. So I think what this for me illustrates is the fundamental difference between a tablet and a phone, and that there is a huge gap there, and that there are times when you can't just lump all of that into mobile. And so I think part of the hard sell of the phone was a turnoff for a lot of people, but I'm kind of surprised to see that they seem to do okay with a tablet and that the phone was just kind of a mess from the sounds of it.
Yeah, it sure seemed that way. Yep. Okay, we're out of time, so yes, we just have to wrap up there.
Okay.
Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome. And I just want to put out really quickly, I have to start spending time on my elliptical now that my knee is starting to get better. I'm supposed to be walking more.
Excellent.
So if you have a series on Netflix or on Amazon Prime streaming that I have not yet watched that you would highly recommend to me so that I can watch an episode of something while I walk, I am all ears for your recommendations. Please let me know what they are.
Awesome. Okay, and listeners, you can give us feedback at what's our email? Observations@macobserver.com. And our Twitter is TMODaily. And then, of course, there's also the show notes where you can leave comments. So please feel free to do so.
You can lean out the window and yell, but it's a little less effective.
Well, yeah, you have to get the timing just right. Listeners, thank you so much for being here again today. John and Kelly, thank you for being here. We will see everyone again tomorrow.